This request of mine has proven to be, I realize now, too demanding, and too radical. Sometimes I ask, have I achieved much? Have I opened many eyes? Have I managed to build many bridges between the different struggling parts of the world? As an internationalist, I have to question my own actions, my effectiveness. I have to admit, honestly, I don't know the answers to my own questions. But I keep working and struggling. The world looks different if observed and analyzed from a pub in Europe or North America, or if you are actually standing on one of those atolls in the middle of the South Pacific, Oceania, that are under the constant assault of tidal waves, dotted with dead stumps of palm trees pointing accusatively towards the sky. These islets are at the forefront of the battle for the survival of our planet, and they are obviously losing. Everything also appears to be much more urgent but also real, when observed from the black and desolate plains of the hopelessly logged out Indonesian islands of Borneo, Kalimantan and Sumatra. I used to recount in my essays, just for my readers to know, what the villages somewhere like Gombe in the Democratic Republic of Congo, DRC, look and feel like, after the murderous assaults by the pro-Rwandese, and therefore pro-Western, militias. It was important for me to explain how things are right in the middle of it, on the ground. I used to write about mass rapes and mutilations, about the burning flesh, terrible torture. I stopped some time ago. You at least once witnessed all this, or you simply didn't. If you did, then you know what it all looks like, what it feels like and smells like. Or you could never imagine it, no matter how many books and reports you read, no matter how many images you consume. I have been trying to speak about all this to the people in the West, at conferences, universities, or even through my films and books. They do listen, mostly respectfully. They do show politely how outraged and horrified they are, it is expected of them. Some say, I want to do something. Most of them do absolutely nothing, but even if they decide to take action, it is usually for themselves, just to feel good, to feel better, to convince their own conscience that they have actually done at least something for the humanity. I used to blame them. I don't, anymore. This is how the world is arranged. However, I have sharply reduced my work visits to both North America and Europe. I don't feel that I click with the people in those places. We don't think the same way, we don't feel the same, and even our logic and rationale are diametrically different. My recent 3-week stay in Europe clearly revealed to me how little there is in common between the West's state of mind and the reality in which the great majority of the world has been living. In the past, before the Western empires and the sole empire took most of determination and enthusiasm away from the people, the most talented of human beings used to make no distinction between their personal lives, their creativity and their relentless work and duty towards humanity. In several places, including Cuba, it is how many people still live. In the West, everyone and everything is now fragmented and life itself became objectively meaningless. There is distinct time to work, satisfying one's personal career, guaranteeing survival, advancing prestige and ego. There is time to play, and for family life. And there is occasionally time to think about humanity or, very rarely, about the survival of our planet. Needless to say, this selfish approach has failed in helping to advance the world.